Joe Courtney, I guess I want to know about gas prices. Are they volatile in terms of people's electoral choices? Is there something phony going on? Is there a larger hand here that we don't see? What's happening?
Well, I think as someone who sits on the Agriculture Committee Commodities Subcommittee, where we have a chance to listen to the folks at the Commodities Futures Commission, which regulates the commodities markets, it's clearly something going on here that's more than just supply and demand. I mean, the fact is demand in the U.S. is still down, partly because of the economy and also partly because, frankly, we're running our cars and, you know, powering our buildings much more efficiently than in the past. Supplies are more than adequate in terms of, you know, what's down in the, you know, the Oklahoma, you know, measuring area that they always use for determining what supplies are. So, you know, we have a commodities market, though, which was deregulated back in the late 90s, allows people who are non-commercial traders, folks who are not involved in exploration, production, distribution of oil products, to bid on future positions. And there's just no question that they make money off movement when it's going up and down. And certainly events in the Middle East have created some you know, concern looking out over 30, 60, 90 days. But there's just no question that you look at folks who analyze this market and that the speculative froth that's in there right now is definitely aggravating these prices beyond what real supply and demand forces should dictate.
So I guess the question is, I remember, I'm so old, Joe, that I remember JFK when the steel guys decided to raise the steel prices. And he called them all into a room and he jawboned them and they walked out with their tails between their legs and they said, okay, we're rescinding all of that. Can Obama do the same thing?
Well, I think they can do more than they're doing. And here's why. When Dodd-Frank financial reform was passed, one of the provisions gave CFTC, the commission, the authority to impose position limits on non-commercial traders. In other words, the guys who, you know, basically play in this market from Wall Street rather than the, you know, the airlines or the trucking industries or the farmers or the people who really use commodity markets to sort of hedge their position in terms of prices. The bill passed. It said, you know, CFTC should adopt limits within 6 months of enactment. They unfortunately spent over a year sort of putzing around with, you know, putting a rule in place. Last October, the CFTC voted 3-2 to put finally some limits on non-commercial traders' ability to buy future positions, and then they turned around and delayed the imposition for the, you know, for a year while they go out and do more data collection and data studies. It's really, in my opinion, you know, almost breaking the law, because Congress could not have been clearer about the fact that they wanted CFTC to move on this right away, and we're still sort of waiting for them to really implement what was part of Dodd-Frank. We've had hearings at the Ag Committee where I've been, you know, standing on my head with Chairman Gensler, saying, you know, my folks who try to keep up with the price in that market, who deliver oil or are independent gas station operators, they've just thrown up their hands. They see no rationality to what's happening from one day to the next on these markets. And, you know, he's made all kinds of promises, but they're saying, you know, not till this coming October are they actually going to have the rules go actually into effect. And again, this is the first time we're re-regulating that market since the late 1990s when it was deregulated. And I think the president should push them harder, I mean, to answer your question directly.
Well, this is extraordinary. I'm glad you're telling us about this, because it seems to me that money talks, all others walk, and somebody's paying the piper here.
It is. I mean, the Bart Chilton, who would be, by the way, a great guy to have you on your show. He's on the CFTC. He's a Commodities Futures Trading Commission Democrat who was appointed by Clinton. You know, really has calculated the average price per gallon that your listeners are paying, and, you know, basically feels there's a speculation premium that we're all paying that's about 30 or 40 cents a gallon. I mean, he's actually broken it down with that much specificity. And, you know, again, if people want to do futures trading on gold and silver, you know, Mrs. Shartok's, sure, you know, silver necklace might cost a little more, okay? But it's, you know, it's not affecting people's ability to heat their house or power their business. Mm. And, you you know, this commodity has to, in my opinion, be treated differently.
The other night I was watching 60 Minutes. You know, I had the guy from Chrysler on who introduced the new car. He says it's going to get 40 miles per gallon.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, as soon as they all get 40 miles per gallon, these guys will come up with a way of charging $9 a gallon for gas. Am I wrong?
Well, I mean, there's certainly a high degree of suspicion about the fact that, you know, it's always heads they win, tails we lose.
Exactly.
You know, in terms of these, you know, in terms of, you know, what we pay for energy costs. I do think, bottom line, that the president, in terms of a long-range policy, is absolutely right, is that we've just got to sort of break the addiction to oil and really aggressively promote renewables and other ways of powering our economy. But in the meantime, you know, we really should not get ripped off and from, you know, really trends and forces that have nothing to do with real life supply and demand.
So what do you think is the potential answer here?
Well, we saw, you know, in 08 when we had the price spike that went up to over $4.
Yep.
Again, there was, I think, hysteria about, you know, China and India are growing and that, you know, demand is going to be outstripped. And it turned out that that was really, again, just a boomlet that took place last year, last spring. We had a similar phenomenon when events were going on in Libya. And as I said, right now, with the Straits of Hormuz sort of getting sort of put in play by Iran, you know, rattling their sabers over there, you know, the markets definitely kind of spiked up somewhat in response to that. I mean, hopefully, frankly, events over there are going to settle down a little bit, and it seems like the headlines have kind of tempered in recent weeks, you know, about war talk over there. But in the meantime, again, I just feel that these markets need to be reformed, and I just, the end users, the folks who really, who either live or die because of energy costs, all came together, airlines, trucking, agriculture, and co-signed a letter to the CFTC saying, you know, really, you need to call an emergency meeting and address this issue of speculation and the way that it's just sort of creating these wild spikes in price that are really damaging the recovery that hopefully, you know, we're all got our fingers crossed is moving forward.
Okay, but I want to ask you very quickly because we're running out of time here, Joe, and I want to remind everybody we're talking to Joe Courtney, Democrat of Connecticut's 2nd District. Joe, I wanted to say that the Saudis are increasing production. Apparently, they're a little worried about the prices also. There is certainly a spate of articles in the New York Times and other places saying we are closer to energy independence than ever. How does all of this impinge on what we're talking about?
Well, I mean, there's no question that, you know, if you send signals out to these traders, you know, there hopefully is going to be some tempering of the people who are betting long on oil prices. You know, certainly the White House has floated the possibility of releasing oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, again, as a way of just really kind of, puncturing a hole in this, you know, sort of exuberance that's surrounding the belief that prices are going to go through the roof. And so, again, that's really, but right now, what that says is that, you know, we're doing things that maybe aren't necessarily tied to real life supplies of oil or real life demand. What we're trying to do is just really sort of eliminate people's expectations that are all in play and when they're out there trading on the markets. And to me, that's where structurally we need to get more regulation back into that market.
Gotcha. Hey, Joe Courtney, when we come back the next time, if it's all right with you, just for a few minutes of our next one, I want to talk to you about energy independence.
Sure.
And what the president is saying and what some of the forces at work here will be. So, Joe Courtney, always a great pleasure to have you with us. It's always so wonderful of you to give us this time. We know how valuable it is, and we'll see you the next time.